All right, welcome back. Second half hour of tonight's show. Frank and Habbo in the studio with Darren alongside. We're expecting to have Chris Wright, the editor of the Saber, here momentarily, and we extend our thanks to Sean Moore. What a great guy, great interview, just articulate, great representative of the Virginia football program from the past. Number 12. Now, I was going to ask him, that's a popular number for quarterbacks to have taken out of the repertoire over there in Charlottesville. So we'll never have another number 12 at quarterback.
And you know what?
Thank so good, be it.
Thank
so
goodness. It. Listen, Sean deserved it. And, there's only one Bullet Bill Dudley. But let me tell you something. As far as quarterbacks go, Sean Moore was it.
Well, when you got six retired numbers to be among that group is pretty special.
So. I don't think there's going to be any more retired numbers unless somebody leads us back to New Year's Day games and is a superstar and breaks records.
Yeah, I think they've gone to the retired jersey routine a little more than the retired number.
And speaking of that, this coming Saturday, the UVA Wahoos take on Louisville Cardinals. Noon kickoff. And Matt Blunden's jersey is being retired. Mm-hmm. Not his number, but his jersey. Mm-hmm. So guess who followed Sean Moore?
Matt Blunden.
And you know what? Matt Blunden set the UVA record for most pass attempts without an interception, and most completions in a row, and all kinds of other records. And
So he was accurate.
Let me tell you something. Matt Blunden could play football.
Well, he was smart, too. You know, a lot of being quarterback is understanding the other defense and throwing it to the right guy.
And Blunden's been on Who's Talking. We might need to hunt him down.
Yeah, he's over at Woodbury Forest. We should have he is another one, former football player in an administrative role.
In the prep league.
At a private school here in Central Virginia. So, yeah, we need to have Matt back on the show.
You know, it's interesting. I ran into Matt a year or so ago running into JPJ at I think he was with two of his sons, and they are big kids. Let me tell you, kids.
Matt's every bit of like 6'7", isn't he?
Easy.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
But also a good basketball player, good rebounder, Habbo.
Yeah, Matt Blunden and Terry Kirby, guys that contributed big time to both sports. So a terrific guy, former player. I think Coach Holland really appreciated Matt Blunden's contributions to the basketball team. You know, guy, obviously what we used to call a role player, but he understood what his role was, and he came in and performed well.
All right, go ahead. Let's put it on. Hold on. We've got a caller, Jay from Short Pump. Jay, you have a question or comment?
Yes, both question and comment. It looks like the number five Louisville team at UVA for Saturday at noon. Two things. Number one, they're favored by 30.5 points. I mean, that's I know they're good, but that seems a little bit crazy to me. 30.5 points at an ACC school game. Yeah, the record's only 2-5, but Louisville's got plenty of weapons, that's for sure. But
oh, they're loaded. Hey, listen, Louisville has got Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson by himself could beat a lot of D1 teams, but you know, it's interesting that you bring that up. We were going to talk about the betting lines later in the show, but this is a good time to talk about this. Earlier today, the line was 28. By the time I checked again, it was up to 28.5, and you're telling me that it's now up to 30. That's a little scary, but you know, Virginia's got to hope for a good rainstorm, and rain is forecasted for Charlottesville this coming Saturday. And Virginia needs that because obviously Duke needed it a few weeks ago, and it did help, and it kept Duke in the game, quite honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Duke certainly was not embarrassed, and that game was at Louisville. So
yeah.
Virginia playing at home, to be a 30-point dog playing in your home stadium, that's not getting a lot of love from the bookies. But nevertheless, I would take Virginia plus 30, that's for sure.
Jay,
that just seems way too high to me. I mean, I know Louisville's strong team, but that just seems like it's way too high.
Just remember that the betting line moves all week. And
I think Virginia coming off the North Carolina loss, I think you made a good point in the newsletter
today.
The coaches, you know, they're going to be focused. I think the team is going to be anxious to play well this weekend. So I'm not going to go so far as to say Virginia's going to beat Louisville, but I think Virginia's going to try to compete as best they can.
I think Virginia's going to stay within 7 to 10 points merely because they know that this is a big stage. This is a noon game. A lot of people are going to see this game, and you're going to see the best of Bronco and his coaches. You're going to see the best effort by the players. And, you know, Benkert has to shake off whatever's happened to him over the last game and a half. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play a whole lot better in this game. But that's, you know, we'll see. All right, look, thank you, Jay. We don't know what's going on with Chris Wright. We were expecting his call. So
we'll have to just talk about some of the issues we were going to ask Chris. Football, basketball.
Talk about the schedule. This coming week, Virginia Tech is at Pitt. It's the ESPN game. And right now, Tech is favored by 3.5.
The ESPN Thursday night game.
Yeah, I did say that.
Well, that's a big game. They're both 5-2. They're both in competition or contention, I should say, for the Coastal. Is that the right?
Correct.
We in the Coastal?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
We're in the Coastal Division. Pitt, North Carolina is, I guess, still in the mix too, although North Carolina lost to Pitt and lost to Virginia Tech. So North Carolina, a little bit of a disadvantage among the three.
You know, Pitt has been in a lot of close games this year.
Yeah.
And if this game comes down to the wire, they might have an advantage. They squeaked by Georgia Tech. They pulled away from Virginia. They lost a nail-biter at North Carolina on that last-second pass, literally with 2 seconds to go in the game, that the throw by Trubisky to Bug Howard in the end zone. It was almost like a Tim Tebow-like little dunk pass.
Well, interesting. Virginia Tech sometimes struggles against the teams they used to face in the old Big East, and
yes.
Pitt is one of those.
That's been a bugaboo for them going up to Pittsburgh. That's correct.
Pitt is not going to be too worried about the collisions in the line of scrimmage. No, they got some beef.
They want to knock heads, but I think we do have Chris Wright on the line now.
All right, welcome to have Chris back. Chris, you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
All right, glad we could catch up with you. Chris, we were talking about the upcoming schedule. Obviously, Virginia faces a tall order in these Louisville Cardinal players and team that seems to be red hot, and Bobby Petrino is considered an offensive whiz kid. What do you make of the game, and how does Virginia take a bite out of the Cardinal?
Yeah, the last time they faced a quarterback that was sort of a running threat was Connecticut. You know, their quarterback was used in designed runs, scrambled a little bit. They really haven't faced a guy that gets out of the pocket quite that much since. They did okay in the Connecticut game. You remember that was a 13-10 game.
Yep.
Containing the pocket. Closing on designed runs, things like that. With that said, Jackson is a totally different level, obviously, than certainly Connecticut's quarterback, but really any quarterback in the whole country. So they will be challenged to kind of keep their rushing lanes right, to close on the ball carry with more than one tackler, just because he's that dynamic. And then the big thing today that I kind of took, kind of reading between the lines with Coach Bronco Mendenhall's press conference today with the media was, he said one thing they're having trouble with on defense, and they have to keep getting better at, is passes over the top of the defense. We saw North Carolina do that twice this past week. Well, then, like four questions later, he mentions one of Louisville's strengths is passing over the top of the defense. And I was like, that doesn't sound good, that one of your weaknesses is one of their strengths. So that, I think that's something they have to do well. They have to keep everybody in front of them, and then they're going to have to tackle well for that to work out.
Speaking of that, it was obvious to me in the last game against the Tar Heels that clearly Quinn Blanding is not right. He is not healthy. He's not even, I don't think he's 60%. In fact, they blitzed him a few times because he couldn't really cover anybody. Anybody that made a move on him, he was trailing. So I'm going to speculate here now that he has a groin injury, or he has maybe he's got sprained feet or something. He's clearly not breaking on the ball or even accelerating out of his start. What can the Cavaliers do to help him and also help the rest of the secondary against all these speed burners that Louisville's got?
Well, one, Quinn's had 29 tackles the last 2 weeks. So if that's playing hurt, that's pretty impressive, right, to pull that off. I do agree with you, though, that he's not as good in moving around the field as we saw him a year ago or even as his freshman campaign here. So, and we know that 2 weeks ago, Coach Mendenhall told us directly that he was only practicing one day a week. So he's clearly not 100% healthy, but they have figured out a way to use his tackling ability up near the line. What you saw last week was Sharp came in at safety And then they rotate Kelvin Rainey out. So basically that allows Blanding to be a little more of a near-the-line safety, which is kind of something Rainey is better at. And Quinn is typically playing free safety. Well, when you bring Sharp in, you can reverse the roles where Quinn plays near the line and then Sharp plays more free safety. That's one way to address it. Sharp's not ready to play the whole game, so you can only do that sometimes. But they are trying to figure out ways to use a hurt Blanding as well as they possibly can.
Hey, Chris, clearly the offense has been inconsistent. Why and how do they correct that?
I think there's a lot of things to it, but I think the number one thing that everything circles back to with this team is the play along the offensive and defensive line on either side of the ball. If you pick a problem that we want to talk about, I think it starts there. So the offensive line is inconsistent, particularly on the interior. Eric Smith is playing fairly well, but everyone else has up and down moments, it seems like. I think the second part of that is because of that, they're not having enough balance, right? They're about a 60-40 pass-to-run ratio, so they're passing a lot more than they're running. And passing by its nature is typically, a little more volatile, a little more incompletions, leaves you in longer second down, longer third down situations when you can't run the ball really consistently at all. So I think that's a big thing. And then the third is something I just mentioned, is they're behind schedule a lot. They're not as good on first and second down as they need to be, so they end up in third and medium and third and long a lot. And we saw what that causes this weekend, 3 of 19 on third down this weekend. That's just simply not good enough for an offense to stay consistent or put points on the board if you can't keep the chains moving on some of those drives.
Exactly right. And that will lead to a terrible stat like making only 3 first downs out of, 19?
Well, it'll lead to what you mentioned, awful. A lot of punts.
Yeah, 10 punts is absurd.
Virginia's done very well when they get into the red zone of turning that into touchdowns. The problem is they don't get there often enough.
Well,
right?
When they get down there, they put the ball
in the end zone, but they can't consistently drive the ball down there to make that a big enough factor in some of these games they're losing.
Yeah, not since the first half of the Pitt game. They've gone essentially 4 quarters with only a couple of drives. But, Chris, one major question for you is Kurt Benkert. Has the guy shell-shocked? Because there were times in the last game where he seemed to move out of the pocket, even when the pocket was intact, and he'd almost slide or scramble into trouble as opposed to continue to scan the field for receivers.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just film. They now have film on Kurt Benkert. He hadn't played much at all in college until these now 7 games. So I think what's happened the last 2 weeks, they had 5 games worth of film to start bothering him in ways that the film showed bothered him. So, for example, we know Pittsburgh said directly that both pregame and postgame that they were going to take away those sprint rollouts that you're talking about. So Virginia does a lot of things where they make one read and then they sprint him out. They did that last year at BYU with that quarterback as well. Well, Pittsburgh purposely took it away. So that's one thing that they did to bother Benkert. But I'm sure that opponents are looking on film and seeing, okay, he's not quite as good with someone in his face. Let's push the middle of the pocket in and see if we can bother his vision or things like that. I think there's some tendencies and some things on film that are showing up there that are allowing opponents to scheme him a little different. And now it's Virginia's turn to answer and Benkert's turn to answer those adjustments.
Hey, Chris, before we let you go, any news on the basketball front? We're closing in on that first game on November the 11th.
Best question of the night. Like you, Hobo, I'm a basketball guy. I was at the Blue-White scrimmage on Sunday. To me, this group has as much versatility as any group I can remember here at Virginia. Now, I only go back through the early 90s when I was watching karate and some of those guys play when I was in high school, or in middle school, actually. But since then, this is the most versatile and deep group that I've ever seen at Virginia. The biggest news, I think, coming out is we know DeAndre Hunter has been nursing an ankle injury a little bit, so he's just now getting back on the floor. But beyond that, the other 12 guys, are trying to sort out what that's going to look like, who's going to earn playing time on this particular year's team. And there's a lot of that up for grabs, obviously, with so many seniors leaving the program last year.
Well, you know London Parentes is going to be on the floor a lot. You know that Devin Hall and Darius Thompson are battling for time, probably between each other. You know that Mariel Shayok is ready to go. He's chomping at the bit. He could go challenge anybody right now. And Austin Nichols is going to get the ball down low a lot, wouldn't you think?
I think all of those things are true. I think what kind of reminded me or caught me maybe a little bit by surprise from yesterday's scrimmage was how good Isaiah Wilkins looked.
Oh, you know, good.
He started on the Elite 8 team last year all the way down the stretch from early February on. He was one of the starters. And I feel like this offseason with so many new guys coming in and some of the big-name returners like Perantes and Devin Hall, who started a lot of games, we've kind of talked about a lot of people, but not Isaiah Wilkins. And he looked really good yesterday. He had 12 points. I think he had 6 or 8 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He was very vocal out on the floor. You know, London's not a real vocal leader, so they need someone to speak up. Wilkins was doing that yesterday. He's lost 5, 6, 7 pounds. He looks a little more mobile than he did a year ago. So I think he might be the guy that we've kind of forgotten about that could be a really, really big piece to this year's team.
No, I think absolutely. But at any rate, Chris, a lot to look forward to, and we'll have a lot more basketball talk in the weeks ahead. But we thank you for taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight, and you'll certainly be back on before too long.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris. By the way, the college basketball USA Today top 25 poll has UVA number seven. So a lot is expected of this team, despite the fact that Tony Bennett a few weeks ago tried to tell us that Virginia was not a top 10 team.
Well, that's coach speak.
That's
right. You always play it. But, yeah, they have a lot of depth, a lot of talent, but you got to win games out on the floor, that's for sure. At any rate, we're going to go to our final break. We got the Olympic report, and we're still hoping to hear from Dr. Gordy Rawls. So stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Talking. We'll be back after these messages.